Take your Bibles and turn them to Matthew chapter 6. This is a passage you know. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and it will begin in verse 5. You look at the Christian life, and there's disciplines in the Christian life. Those things that as believers we know we ought to do and we should do and sometimes do, but not always like we should do. Things like learning the Bible. Things like practicing prayer. Things like enjoying fellowship and telling others. And also serving one another. In prayer, what we find as we look before, we discover that prayer is speaking to God through Jesus Christ with the assistance of the Holy Spirit, either verbally or non-verbally, such as writing it out or praying silently in order to praise and worship and thank or petition Him on account of ourselves or on behalf of somebody else, or quite simply talking to God. We learned that we made some general observations about prayer in the early church. It was prominent. It was corporate. It was also private, though. It was regular as well as spontaneous. In specific instances of prayer in the new church, we see that there's leaders, when choosing leaders and commissioning them, prayer was involved. In seeking physical healing, there was prayer involved. And looking to boldness for the spread of the gospel, prayer was involved, and even personal safety. We know that we need to be in much prayer today as well. There's all kinds of things to pray for, and I bet if you started a list of different things you could be praying for, you would just come with just innumerable page upon page if you really sat down and thought about it and thought specifically for individual needs. In Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount here, Jesus says this: "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which sees in secret, will reward you openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not you therefore like them, for your Father knows the things which you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner, pray, Father, and our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." When we look at the prayer and we saw what it was a couple weeks ago, I challenged you to be using, to be making and spending special time in prayer, whenever that time would be. And if I were to ask you how it is going, how many of you would say to be consistently praying is difficult? Anybody here would say that? Okay. You know what? It is difficult. If we're honest, if we were to take some time, we would find there are some challenges to pray. Some people, because by way of experience and practice, get pretty good at it, but you know what? They still have trouble with prayer. That doesn't mean that it's impossible to pray or a person can't pray. It doesn't mean that it's something that's unovercomable. But when we pray, there are some difficulties that can happen and some things that can hinder us from happening. In his book, James Hastings writes in his book, The Christian Doctrine of Prayer, back in 1915, as he describes prayer, I can see is some of the things that apply either to me or other people that I know. He describes about prayer, but he also describes some of the difficulties about it as well. He writes, there are many who have experienced at times an intense dissatisfaction with their prayers. They seem so lame, so cold, so profitless that they are inclined to exclaim, what a weariness or what a mockery it is. They are constantly disappointed with themselves. The heart that seems so full has run empty ere they reach their knees. They have nothing to say. All their thoughts have fled from them, and the intense longings comes across their heart that someone would teach them how to pray. We look and find in another passage that the disciples even asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Since prayer is talking and listening to God and appealing to Him and giving Him a request that He might answer graciously and with His giftedness, His generosity, we know that when we speak to God, that He answers prayer. We've seen it. Maybe you've even seen it this last couple of weeks as God has answered prayers. It was exciting to see someone come to know Christ their Savior this morning. That was quite a blessing. As I understand, it was between Sunday school and church. And that's fantastic. It's amazing what prayer does. Praying for the lost, praying for our own behalf, and praying on for others. Tonight, though, as we consider prayer, we're going to look at some advice when it comes to prayer that we might be amongst those great prayer warriors and see God answer those prayers. So the question that we're going to answer tonight is, what can hinder our prayers? Well, the first thing that can hinder our prayers is wandering hearts. Wandering hearts. In Psalm 66, verse 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Some have taken that verse and said, if I have sin in my heart, it's like talking to God on the other side of the glass, where He can see my mouth moving, but He can't hear anything. That's not what that verse is saying. That verse isn't saying that God has an inability to hear. If He had the inability to hear a person when there's sin in their heart, we could never ask for forgiveness because God couldn't hear it. The sinner would be unsaved because though he pleads with God, God would not hear it. Instead, though, the verse is not talking about God's inability, but His choice to hear your prayers, to listen to your prayers. When we have sin in our heart, we need to make that right before God, before we start asking Him and worshiping Him. Let me show you in Matthew chapter 5, back a page, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. If you are offering your gift at the altar, coming to worship, maybe it's a matter of worship, maybe it's a matter of asking for forgiveness, you're offering your gift upon the altar. And there, remember that your brother has something against you. Perhaps you've done something to them that you know is something that hasn't been made right. Or they've done something against you and it's kind of festering there in your heart. You need to see what you can do to restore that relationship. Do what you can. If you have done something in particular against your brother, take your altar and leave it there. Take your gift and leave it there. Leave there your gift before the altar. Don't offer it. Just set it down. Don't even take it with you. This is a matter of immediacy, of urgency. I must go make things right. And so, leave your gift there and go make things right before with each other. And go your way. first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer the gift. So if we were to use it today, just to make it real simple, Dawn made cookies this afternoon, and they're good. And she made some mini chocolate chip cookies, and they came out. They're done just right. They're sitting there, cooling, and disappearing at the same time. So yeah, I'm sorry I didn't bring any for you. They didn't survive. So we made those cookies, and there's a little one there. And you know what I was doing? I was picking at it. It took 3 bites and it was gone. Anyway. You have the cookies there, and the kids get in trouble. All right, let's say they start going off and getting a big old fight, and they're fist fighting. They don't usually fist fight, but they're fist fighting. And then you say, "Hey, knock it off!" And you give them the lecture and tell them that they're in trouble. And then all of a sudden, they look up at you and say, "Can we have a cookie?" What's your answer going to be? Generally speaking, it's no. You're in trouble now. Now is not a time. You're not getting a cookie because you're in trouble. So you need to face consequences before we start talking about cookies. Well, in the same way, I want things to be right between them before I start giving what they ask. God wants us to make sure that our hearts are right before Him. And if there's something that we've done against somebody else, we've cheated them, we've talked bad about them and really hurt them, or something that way, we need to go restore those relationships before we come before the altar. You see, sin can have an effect in our lives that it blocks our relationship with God. We still have the relationship with God that we're still saved. We're still His children. But that fellowship that we have of being close to God, well, we're not quite as close, and that affects our prayer life as well. When we consider praying to God, we need to make sure that we are making sure that we are right before Him. So many times what we do is we'll pray and ask God to forgive us at the beginning of our prayer. And our prayer, though, needs to be sincere, but we'll see that later as well. So there's a warning here about our hearts. Our hearts might be wrong, and we need to make sure that we make them right before God. Sometimes when we pray, though, we pray and we don't feel like our prayers are going anywhere. They've hit the ceiling. Is that because there's sin in our life? Well, that's possible, but I also want you to understand, sometimes we've made things right before God because we've 1 John 1:9. But we still feel guilty. Are we guilty before God? Well, not if we've confessed that before Him, but we still might feel bad. Let me ask you this. You don't have to answer. I'm just a thought for you to ponder. When I confess my sin to God, how long do I have to wait in order to be able to ask Him for something? 10 minutes? 2 hours? 3 days? Do I have to wait till at least the next day? You know, in the Old Testament, you were unclean for that day, so you had to wait till the next day, right? Is that how it goes? No, it's not. We might pray and ask God to forgive us for sins, ask Him to point out sins because we feel like our prayers aren't being answered. And we might even confess those unintentional sins. Be careful, though, when you do that. Sometimes we make sins what are not sins. We sit there on our knees and we say to ourselves, "Oh, I know what the problem is, why God won't hear my prayer. I didn't say thank you to the lady at the cash register when she checked me out." And so we jump in our car and drive down and say, "Ma'am, thank you so much for helping me. and leave, and she doesn't even remember you and is all confused. You know, we ought not to make sins what is not sin. Be careful of that. Sometimes we'll feel guilty for something that's not really a sin. And the problem is not really the sin in our life. It could be something else. It might just be us that day. You see, does God answer prayer based on how you feel? No, He doesn't. Does God hear your prayer based on how you feel? No, He doesn't. He's a loving Heavenly Father who knows how to give good gifts. We need to make sure that we're in the habit of prayer and that we're making things right before God so that way we can enjoy that. It's something that John Bunyan said. He says, prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. If we are busy working on our prayer life, it will help prevent us to be involved in our sin life. We need to be careful of wandering hearts when we pray. We also need to be careful of wandering minds. I'm guessing that most people deal with this issue. We need to, in his book, he says, let anyone try to fix his mind on any subject that he might select. What hard work it is, unless long practice has made it easy. The mind refuses to be fixed, and it will not come when it is called, or if it comes, it will not stay. It is busy painting pictures and does not like being disturbed. Let me ask you a question that I don't want to embarrass you with, so don't answer it out loud. When it's time to pray in the morning service and it's dead silent, what are you thinking about? I'm guessing you start to pray, but then all of a sudden you hear something over here. Or all of a sudden you say, oh, that's right, I need to do that today. And it's even worse when somebody else is praying. When somebody else is praying and you're not, you don't have to do the mental work of trying to follow along even. And your mind, it just goes, wanders and does whatever it wants. It's most people that have trouble with that. There's ways to handle that, but nobody is perfect. He mentions again, life as is a whole. In an ordinary frame of the daily life will be practically the mood of the hour of prayer. Learn to give it your whole mind. That has been truly said. For whatever you are doing to the book you are reading or the letter you are writing, nay, even to the sweeping of a room or the making of a garment, to let your mind, give your whole mind to it. Not to let it wander off into something else. That's how car accidents sometimes happen. You get to thinking about something else and didn't realize you just went through the stop sign. Or missed your turn, right? Missed my turn, not the red lights. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 helps us out in this situation. Paul is writing, and he says, "The casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." The word thought there has the idea of mind and thinking. Every thought that we have to obedience of Christ. Trying to capture your thoughts. You've heard of trying to herd cats? Well, same kind of thing. How can we control our minds? We need to be mind controllers, don't we? we need to try to work hard at controlling and paying attention, whether it's to somebody else and they're speaking, or it's devoting ourselves to reading of God's Word, or to prayer, or to service. Putting our mind on our test that God has set before us. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, you're familiar with, don't be anxious about anything, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. There it is right there. When I am taking those thoughts and giving them to Christ, it is God who will guard my heart and my mind. What things should I meditate upon? Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Verse 8 speaks of disciplining our mind, our thinking. He says, think on these things. This is not something that's incidental, that naturally happens to us. It's a discipline. It's a discipline to watch the game and not say, what a lousy coach. And instead to say, what a great play. We're really good at complaining, aren't we? We can nitpick at anything. It takes discipline for us to look at the good side of what happened. I like what Aline had mentioned to me. We talked about not this past game, but the game before. And she has an optimistic way, she's learned an optimistic way to look at a loss. Oh, at least they got their exercise. But what a great way to try to put a positive spin on it. And it's halfway mocking, but at the same time, thinking positively instead of negatively about it. In the same way, we need to think and have our minds fixed. Let anyone try to find his mind on any subject that he may select, he says, and what hard work it is unless long practice has made it easy. And that's true. What can we do to help concentrate, to help our minds? Well, one of the things is praying out loud. Takes a little more thought to pray out loud, or if you have the prayer request in front of you. Building up a prayer life, the same with Bible reading, and it's a matter of taking some time and devoting some time and just maybe breaking up, having, I'm going to spend a few minutes here and a few minutes there, and develop that prayer. At the same time, though, don't require yourself, I have to spend 1 hour in prayer. Because what will happen if you're trying to fill time instead of actually praying? You'll be there as the Pharisees out on the corners babbling, thinking be heard for your much speaking. Instead, and so it's not that you're trying to fill a certain amount of time. There's nowhere in the scripture that tells us how long to pray. You see some prayers in the scriptures. Nehemiah, he gives about a 1.5 second prayer. And then you see the prayer of Solomon, which he takes a whole long chapter to pray. You see people praying all night. You see people praying just a few sentences. And those few sentences, they may just have been condensed versions of it. When we pray, though, it needs to be something that we are focused on, something that we are practicing. And the more that we practice prayer, the better we'll become at it. The more that we practice concentrating, the better we'll become at it. We need to be prayerful. And we need to be careful, though, of our wandering hearts from God. We need to be warned of their wandering minds as when we are praying or we're with a group of people and there's prayer. How often our minds will wander. We also need to be careful of our wandering faith. Our wandering faith. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11, he says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you." But how often do we forget that? We begin to have doubts. We start asking, do I really trust God to answer this prayer? Or am I just praying this because it's what a Christian is supposed to do? We might start have a wandering faith in the sense of asking ourselves, am I doing this the right way? Sometimes we might say, well, I'm not finding answers to prayer, so I must not be praying right. I'm not saying the right magical words in the right order. Or I'm not using King James language when I pray. Or I'm kneeling on one knee instead of two. Or maybe I'm sitting instead of standing. And we can become superstitious about our prayers. And then it shows us what our faith is really on. Is my faith based on what God can do? Or is my faith based on me praying a certain way? Or is my faith based on me asking the right thing at just the right time and just the right way? We might ask ourselves, would he listen to me if I read my Bible first? Or if I gave a tract away? Do I have to kind of gain his favor in order to get what I want? Like Santa Claus. You're good for all the way through from Thanksgiving all the way to Christmas because that's how you get a lot of presents. I text my mom. I said, we could use, you know, an idea we could use is one of these. And she says, well, you'd have to be nice. And I said, well, I'll try really hard. And just don't ask Dawn. And so, you know, we get the Santa Claus kind of approach to God sometimes and think, well, the reason God's not answering my prayers is because I only read one chapter instead of three out of the scriptures this morning. Sometimes we might get that way. And what we're doing is we're taking our faith and putting it on anything else besides God. We need to put it wholly and completely on God. We need to remember his character and what he does. He says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Those verses say, wait a minute, trust God. We sometimes feel guilty because we ask God for so much, but we shouldn't. He says in this in Matthew chapter 7, if you, being a parent, when your children ask you for something, it's within the realms of ability, it's within the realms of what would be good for them, you would say, certainly, even if it's not good for them as chocolate chip cookies. Well, I might tell them no so I can eat them. But you know how to do good gifts. You're gracious. You're generous. You even let them eat the table instead of making them eat on the floor. You're a nice person. I mean, it's just bread and water while you eat your steak, but you're still nice. Well, in that way, you're being kind to them. When they ask, can we have a snack? Sure, I've got this you can have. You know how to do that. How much more does God do that? So our trust needs to be in what God does. In James James warns, if any of you lack wisdom, to ask God, who gives to all men generously and does not withhold it, and it shall be given to them. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea that's driven when the wind is tossed. Don't let that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. At the same time, we need to make sure while our faith is in God, we also need to make sure that if an answer is not given when we want it or how we want it, that our faith all of a sudden is destroyed. Or we'll all of a sudden say, well, I must not be praying right. Well, that's a possibility. But if you're going through the quick checklist, have I confessed my sins? Am I trusting God for this? And then say, well, you know, then he's giving his answer, which might be no or wait. But if I'm not really going to trust him, instead I'm going to trust, well, did I ask the right way, or did I do enough good works before I asked? Then my trust, again, is not in what God can do, but on what I do in order to win his favor. We need to make sure we're right before him and trusting him completely. We must be careful of wandering hearts. We must be careful of wandering minds. We must be careful of wandering faith. And we must be careful of wandering sincerity. Back at the passage we started at, back in Matthew chapter 6. When we pray, we need to pray in such a way that we are sincere in our prayer. It's not just something that we, you know, it's breakfast time, and so we say the same prayer. There's nothing wrong with saying the same prayer, but is it from the heart? Is it something that we mean? Writing again, James, he writes this. He says, we are to pray in private. We begin with what may seem to be genuine prayer. That is, we begin by saying that we feel or what we are really thinking. But how often the humiliating discovery is made that in some unguarded moment, the mind is stolen off on some business of its own and left us there on our knees repeating phrases that mean nothing, offering formal petitions that run glibly off the tongue from the force of habit, but have in them no life, no soul, no value, no significance whatsoever. So James Hastings, he understanding that prayer is hard, difficult, and it's also a discipline. What he writes there reminds me of probably maybe a view as well of what the Catholics do with their beads. They pray the rosary. I looked up real quick. What is praying the rosary? Well, it begins with the Apostles' Creed, followed by one Our Father, three Hail Marys, traditionally offered for an increase of faith, hope, and charity for those praying the rosary, a glory be, and if desired, a Fatima prayers. Fatima has to do with law, not eating too much. Next comes five mysteries, each consisting of one Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, a glory be, and if desired, a Fatima prayers concluded with the Hail Holy Queen. Wow, that sounds, you thought prayer was work. I'm glad I'm not Catholic. Boy, you really got to know something. Whatever their heart might be, what are they doing? They're reciting prayers. Reciting prayers is not wrong if done with the right heart. For example, you could be praying scripture. They prayed scripture even in the book of Acts, reciting some of the passages in the Old Testament. But to do something as rote as, okay, now I got to say three Hail Marys, it brings us back to this passage of when we pray. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Tell you the truth, they'll receive their reward. When you pray, go into your room, close the door. Pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. We may not be sitting there intentionally praying just words that come to our mind, but what can happen? We have prayer habits, don't we? When we pray, there are phrases and words that we tend to use. It's not a bad thing, unless it's said in as a matter of habit, or not having something else to say instead of something that comes from the heart. So we can have wandering sincerity. Our sincerity is lost in the fact that we have to pray. When we practice these things, you sit there and you open up your, if you have a prayer book or something, not a book of prayers, something liturgical that way, but a bunch of prayer requests. And you open them up and you go through them. Wednesday night, there's a list of prayers of people, prayer requests. And so you're going through the list, making sure you hit each one. Making sure we hit each one, but we need to do so with sincerity, not, okay, I've prayed for that one, check mark there. I prayed for that one, check mark there. Because then it becomes like reading your Bible, where you've read the passages that are assigned in a Bible reading schedule or in the bulletin or whatever you're doing. It's just to say that you read the Bible. And so you read through it, and then you go and put a check mark. I read that one, but haven't learned anything. We're not told to just read the Bible, are we? That, I'm trying to think of a passage where it says, read the Scriptures. I see where it says, search the Scriptures. To meditate on the Scriptures. Well, we got, in order to do that, you have to read the Scriptures. But the goal is not to have done a task. When we pray, we need to do it with the sincerity of prayer instead of the insincerity of, well, I've prayed my prayers today. Each night, the kids say their prayers. Remember hearing that on TV? Or maybe you had a habit in your family of doing that, which are good things to do. But we need to make sure that we're doing them right. We've taken a couple times here to look at prayer. In order to be a more prayerful church, that means as individuals we need to be in prayer. And as we pray and as a group of folks, particularly on Wednesday nights, but other times as well. And when we pray, making sure that we are seeking God, that we are doing it is prominent in our lives. It is something that we are doing when we're making decisions and when we're seeking God's help, when we're looking for guidance. And we're doing it all in such a way that we're being careful of our wandering hearts, making sure we're right before God, being careful of our wandering minds, for our minds doesn't take much, and it's off outside playing, just like when we're in school. I remember sitting at my desk and getting in trouble, because you know where my eyes were in school? Outside, because it's sunny outside, and you can play outside. When you sit there and look at the chalkboard, because that's what we had then, when you look at the chalkboard, guess what that is? Boring. Sometimes we can approach prayer that way. We need to be careful of our wandering minds and our wandering faith, making sure our faith is in what God can do. Not in me saying something just the right way, or standing or sitting or kneeling. Not in me doing some kind of good works to kind of butter God up a little bit. but completely on Him. I need to make sure that my sincerity, when I am praying, I'm thinking through what I'm saying. I am truly seeking God to answer those prayers instead of having just said words to be able to say, I've prayed that day. Let's make sure that we are practicing this Christian discipline of prayer, a discipline. It's a discipline. It needs to be intentionally done. We could put more up here, wandering time, because our time goes off and then we're trying to think, well, when can I pray? Because, or as soon as I sit down to pray, I think, I don't have time to do this. I've got this and this and this to do. We could think about those kinds of things. We could come up with all kinds of distractions and troubles and doubts that plague us in prayer. But when it comes down to it, what do we need to do? We need to just sit down, shut up, and pray. We need to silence our mind. We need to take it and shut everything off, shut the phones off or whatever, and spend time in prayer. Who doesn't like that? Satan doesn't. So what's he going to do? He's going to probably bring these things in. But focus on Him and let Him work in you and through you. God uses our prayers to bring about His will. We need to be diligent to be in prayer. We need to follow Him and see Him work, not just in our lives, but in the lives of other people as well. Because it is through the foundation of prayer and scripture reading that we are diligent then to go and do the other things of fellowship, of sharing the gospel, and serving one another. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would help us, that we will in our own lives be prayerful, and that we will be prayerful as a church. I thank you, Father, for your word, and I thank you for what it tells us, and for the warnings we have from practical knowledge, from practice, from the struggles of others, and answers we find in your word. Father, I ask that you would help us, that we will have minds and hearts that are focused on you, particularly when we pray. That you help us to set aside the distractions, the thoughts and the cares of the day, the ringing of the phones, or whatever might be the case, that we might be able to come before you, enjoy that presence and fellowship we have before you. I thank you for the honor and blessing it is to be able to come before your throne, that mercy seat, to be able to obtain the mercy that we need and be able to find that comfort and peace. And I pray, dear God, that you would help us, that we will honor you, seeking not to make fanciful prayers, seeking not to be able to say we pray a certain way or a certain amount of time, but, Father, to be able to fellowship with you, to give you our desires, our requests, to know that you hear them, to give you our worship for the great and mighty things you've done. Oh, Father, I pray that you'd help us do this, that we might be more like your Son. I ask this in Jesus' name.